It's good to be back with you on this Lord's Day. You know, I've always enjoyed studying the Word of God, and it helps us to discover and helps teach us about God's Word, and that helps us in our everyday life. I want you to remember today and keep up with us here, and if you have a chance to go back and look at your Bibles about what we're talking about, you look at this and make sure that you understand what we're talking about. You know, a major concern of Christians today should be whether or not people have the ability to recognize evil. Can you recognize evil? Can your friends recognize evil? We're going to look at these things today, beginning with what the Apostle Paul has to say to Timothy in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 12th and 13th verses. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what Paul says. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Brothers and sisters, in today's time, we're seeing so much evil, it is unbelievable at what has taken place in the last 20 years, 25 years, at the things that are taking place that are evil and so many people call good. Do you recognize evil? Are you concerned about evil? Let's look at it a little bit. Now, this scripture text comes from Paul's second letter, like I said, to Timothy in the chapter that begins, "In the last day, perilous times shall come." We are living in perilous times now, and evil is increasing every day. That's exactly what Paul is telling us here. Both evil and the persecution of Christians is increasing every day. You know, there's always been a war going on between good and evil, ever since the serpent deceived Eve in the garden. But as time has passed, evil has progressed in each generation. As people in each generation became accustomed to evil ways, they began calling those ways good. Does that sound strange? Does that sound like today? In the 1950s, abortion was considered evil. But now it's an everyday thing. Just a few years ago, same-sex marriage was evil. But now that it has been legalized in every state in this country, people have become accustomed to it and don't really think of it as evil. This, brothers and sisters, is how evil progresses from generation to generation and becomes acceptable by society and even called good. The prophet Isaiah said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That's what we've done because we've lost sight of what good is and what truth is. You know, truth is absolute. It is based on two things. God is good and Satan is evil. All good emanates from God. When the rich young ruler in Luke 18 addressed Jesus as good master, Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." All good comes from God. Satan is evil. All evil comes from Satan. In John 8, Jesus told the Pharisees that they were not children of God, but children of the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. The Pharisees opposed Christ at every turn. They accused him of getting his power from Satan. They tried to stone him, and they finally had him crucified. They were evil, just like their father the devil. The Bible tells us that. These are absolute truths. God is good, and all good comes from God. Satan is evil, and all evil comes from Satan. But our society today has made truth relative rather than absolute. We justify the evil we do because it is done in the name of good. Now listen to me. You follow me what I'm saying. Now here's a good example. You know, Halloween is the devil's holiday. Anything associated with the devil is evil. If it's associated with the devil, it's evil. All evil comes from the devil. But we call it good because it's just trick or treat. Innocent children dressing up as ghosts and goblins and witches going door to door, collecting candy from their neighbors. Meanwhile, all over this country, real Satanists are sacrificing live children to the devil. Millions of children in this country disappear each year and are never seen again. Many are sold into sex slavery, and many are sold to Satanists for child sacrifice. And that a lot of it is done on the biggest day of sacrifice to Satan, and that's Halloween. And in recent years, churches all over this country have become, now listen to what I'm telling you, you know, and just in recent years here and now, and I'm seeing it so many places, churches all over this country have become promoters of the devil's holiday by bringing it into the church and calling it trunk or treat. Now we have three situations here, and I want you to tell me which are good in God's eyes. The first situation is kids going trick-or-treating. The second is the human sacrifice for Satanists on Halloween. And the third is trunk or treating at church. Which of them are good? If you said none of them, you'd be exactly right. All three are evil. But most people would say only one is evil, and that's the killing of children as sacrifices to Satan. Do you see how the truth has become relative? Now you take something evil and use it as a children's game or move it to a church setting, and suddenly it becomes good. Now you explain that to me. Just because little children are pretending to be witches and goblins, we prefer not to call it evil, and because it's part of a church activity, we certainly don't want to call it evil, but that's exactly what it is, and that's how we call evil good. Here lately, we've started calling so many things, so many evil things, good, that we don't see anything wrong with the evil that's going on around us. I've heard church people justify having trunk or treat in the church by saying it's good because it keeps kids off the streets and out of trouble on Halloween night. Have you said that? Have you heard your neighbors say that? Have you heard church people say it? Well, that's what they're saying. But Halloween is of the devil. It is of the devil, and it is evil no matter what the situation is. This is exactly, now listen to what I'm telling you, this is exactly how so much evil has crept into the church. Now, people rationalize that because it is used to bring people into the church, it must be good. God does not use evil things to bring people into His church. In the beginning, as recorded in the book of Acts, God added to the church daily. God still adds to His church. His Holy Spirit draws people to Him. His Holy Spirit is like the wind, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. The wind blows where it wills, and no one knows when it comes or where it goes. Now you can see the effects of the wind, but you cannot see the wind. Jesus said, so it is with everyone. He said, let me say that again. So it is. Jesus said this. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, not just a few, but everyone who is born of the Spirit. In the beginning, as recorded in the book of Acts, God added to His church, and He still adds to His church today. He draws them in by His Spirit on His own timing. Romans 9 and 18 says, therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will He hardeneth. Jesus said in John 5 and 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. You know, God has mercy on whom He chooses to have mercy, and He hardens those He chooses to harden. It is God who raises man from a dead state in sin and trespasses. And it is not by man's will that he is raised from a dead state, because a dead man does not know he is dead. Likewise, the Son quickens whom He will. Man cannot conjure up the Spirit at his own will. Jesus said in John 6 and 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are alive. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto Me, except it were given unto him of My Father. It is God who decides whom the Spirit will quicken. It is God who chooses whom His Spirit will draw to Him. Many friends, I've heard them say that the church is in the saving business. I cringe every time I hear that. Only God is in the saving business, brothers and sisters. The church is in the discipling business. Jesus says of Himself in His prayer to the Father in John 17, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Only Jesus Christ has been given the power to give eternal life, and this power is extended to Christ only for those the Father has given to him. The authority God has given the church is to disciple those who belong to him. The church is to teach them how to be Christ-like, how to look to the Holy Spirit to guide them in obedience and worship. Then you curtail this evil that's happening in our society today if our church people will only look and study God's Word. We have God's holy Word, and it was not given to us to show us how to get people saved, but to show us how to save people or to live. You understand what the Bible's saying now? The ways of God are good because God is good. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are good. God uses that which is good to draw his children to him. The ways of man are evil because they are worldly ways. They are of the world and of the flesh. Remember now what Jesus said. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profits nothing. It cannot draw people into God's kingdom. Only God, who is good, can do that. Is that not enough scripture now to tell you what I'm saying? Because good and evil are opposites, they cannot be mixed. If part of it is evil, then it is all evil. Think of it as black and white paint. White is only white in its pure state. If one drop of black paint is poured into it, it is tainted and is no longer white, but it's gray. God and evil cannot occupy the same space. If the Spirit of God occupies the human heart, evil cannot live there. It cannot live there. They don't reside in the same place. In order for the Holy Spirit to indwell the heart, Satan must completely be removed. It's like Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 12:22-28. Here Matthew tells us about Jesus casting a devil out of a man who was deaf and dumb. When the Pharisees hear about it, they accuse Jesus of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, and he's the prince of the devils. Jesus shows them the error of their thinking. Why would Beelzebub cast out his own devil? That doesn't make sense now, does it? He said to the Pharisees, "A house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Then Jesus says, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." That's when it comes upon a person, when God casts out that evil spirit, that devil that's within man. When the Spirit of God comes to live in your heart, the devil is cast out. Where God is, the devil cannot exist. We can easily look back over the past 50 years and see how our society has become more and more evil. We kick God and Bible reading out of our schools. We legalize the killing of unborn children. Sexual immorality, gambling, pornography, alcohol, and drug abuse have destroyed our families, brothers and sisters. And the final nail in the coffin was the legalization of sodomy over a year ago that we saw here in our country. Unbelievable. Our leaders are compulsive liars. They cheat and steal and make deals with our enemies. They have opened our borders to illegal criminals and opened our jails and released convicted prisoners. Now do you see what we're facing in an evil way in this country? Evil has come upon us from every direction. It is just like our scripture text for today says, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." What makes it even worse is that the lies have been exposed, and that doesn't seem to bother people. When we uncover all these lies, it don't seem to bother our country. Don't seem to bother our church people. The more we find out about the lies we've been told, the more we throw up our hands and give up trying to change things. Now I'm going to tell you, that in itself is evil. We're complicit in the evil that is going on around us in our neighborhoods, our churches, and our governments because we refuse to do anything about it. It all boils down to the choice Joshua gave the Israelites. It's a choice between serving God or serving Satan. And that's what God's children can do. They have the ability to make that decision. If you're doing good by being obedient to God's commandments, then you are serving him. If you are doing evil, you are serving the devil or one of his false gods, because all false gods are of Satan. How are people serving Satan now? It's what I'm saying. You know, I'm asking you this. How are people in our country serving Satan? It's through the works of the flesh, which the Apostle Paul identifies in Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 19th through the 21st verse. The Apostle Paul says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. People who do such things as these are evil people and are not God's children. You know them by their fruit. In verse 22, Paul gives us the traits that we'll find in God's children. God's children are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The Apostle John said in John 16 and 13 that the Spirit of God guides his children in all truth. Jesus prayed in John 17 that God would keep his children from evil, and that is what the Holy Spirit does. But we aren't just instructed to not do evil. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in the 27th verse, we're told to abstain from the appearance of evil. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, in the 3rd verse, tells us that God keeps his children from evil. The people you see in the world who are continually, habitually engaged in evil are not God's children. Both God and Satan cannot reside in a person's heart that he will habitually live in sin. Now, what I want to tell you is that we must learn to identify evil and avoid having fellowship with evil or supporting evil activities in any way. Evil can never be used to advance God's kingdom. Now, that's a big statement, but the Bible tells us that. Flesh will not profit anything. But listen to what I told you. Evil can never be used to advance God's kingdom. If evil brings you into the church, that's what you will carry from the church back out into the world. If the Holy Spirit of God brings you into the church, then you will carry the Holy Spirit with you into the world, and the fruits of the Spirit will be manifest to the world. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 that a good tree produces good fruit. It cannot produce evil fruit. And an evil tree can only produce evil fruit. It cannot produce good fruit. Jesus illustrates where good and evil fruit come from in Matthew 15. When the Pharisees ask him why he and his disciples transgressed the commandments of God by not washing their hands before they ate, Jesus explained that it isn't what you put in your mouth that defiles you, but what proceeds out of the mouth from the heart. He said that the Pharisees were honoring God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. They were worshiping in vain, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say to wash your hands before you eat. Washing the hands before eating was a tradition of the Pharisees being taught as Scripture. Out of the mouths of the Pharisees came the evil in their hearts in falsely accusing Jesus of breaking the law. This is what defiled them. Not eating with dirty hands didn't defile them. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The things we speak reveal what is in our hearts. If the heart is pure and good, then good things will be spoken. If the heart is evil, then evil things will be spoken. You hear those things today, brothers and sisters? Paul tells us in Romans 12 and 9, abhor that, hate that which is evil, run from it, cleave, hang to that which is good. In order to do what Paul says in this verse, we must first know the difference between good and evil. We have to know the difference between good and evil. Because of Adam's transgression, man is born doing evil because of his carnal nature. No man is born with a spiritual nature. David says in Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. The natural man is born without the spirit of truth. Therefore, he does not know the truth. He is born speaking lies. He is not able to discern truth. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and the 14th verse, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, carnality is the state of man when he's born physically from his mother's womb. He has a natural nature, but he does not have a spiritual nature. Before the world was created, God chose a people to redeem from this fallen nature. He chose those whom he pleased and left the rest in their fallen condition. People say that God wouldn't do such a thing because it wouldn't be fair, but it is more than fair. What would be fair would be for God to leave everyone in their sins and redeem not one of them. All of Adam's race deserves death and hell, but God chose his children, and God's children are given understanding of spiritual things when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in their hearts. Now, we've already talked about how the Spirit comes. He comes like the wind. No one knows when he comes or where he goes. But just like we can see the effects of the wind, we can see the effects of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Paul describes the effects of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th through the 18th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There is a change in a person's life when the Holy Spirit comes to live in his heart. Old things now, old ways, old desires are passed away. All things have become new. The Apostle John said in 1 John 4:4-6, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God's children have the ability now, it's what I'm telling you today, to discern good and evil. They have the Spirit of God living in them to guide them in all truth. Those who are evil do not have the ability to know good. There is nothing in them that gives them that ability. The Bible tells us that, brothers and sisters, they are guided by the spirit of evil, which is the devil. It is that spirit that has led this nation into evil ways. It has led our leaders to make evil decisions. It is that spirit that is leading this nation down the path to destruction. Only when God's hand of judgment comes crashing down upon us will we know that it is too late for hope. But until that time, we must be in earnest prayer for this nation and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Please bow your heads now, brothers and sisters. I want to pray with you today. I feel the need to pray with you today, brothers and sisters, because of what I'm seeing and my earnest concern for this nation and for the church people of this nation. Now let's look to the Lord to answer our prayers. Let's look to him to answer our questions. Let's look to him to change our country and take it down the road that it was founded upon. Bow your heads, please. Almighty God, creator of the universe, we know that you desire for your dear children to live holy and righteous lives. We are commanded to be holy as you are holy. You have given us your Holy Spirit, teacher of all truth, but your church has failed to exercise its spiritual authority to influence our society in truth and goodness. We have failed to require godliness and morality in our leaders. We have failed to require them to be God-fearing men and women who keep your commandments. We have stood silently by as our nation has plunged into evil and darkness through the lust of the flesh. We humbly repent of these and all transgressions and ask your forgiveness, dear Lord. We ask, dear Lord, that you help us to exercise the authority given us by thy Spirit, that we may be of greater influence in our churches and in our country. We pray that you open the eyes and ears of this people, the people of this country, so that they may see the plans of those who want to destroy America. We pray, as King David prayed, that you would bring the evil enemies of this country and the enemies of your church to defeat and destruction. Help us turn back the tidal wave of wickedness, darkness, and rebellion that has swept over our nation. Withhold your judgment, dear God, and grant us more time to reverse our wickedness and boldly proclaim righteousness in this country that was founded on thy commandments. We ask these things in all humility, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and amen. May the Lord bless you as you strive to live and walk in his ways in the days to come, brothers and sisters.